Welcome to episode 85 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. We also have our always common guest, Jeff, here.
Again.
So much more than common.
Right. The jerk. Silent J at CNBC.
Common guest, Jeff, here. Tonight we're going to drink a number of Colorado beers. That's the theme for tonight. Colorado beers with varying styles and a few different breweries here. So what was the first one on the list, gents?
Modus Mandarina India Pale Ale from, oh dear,
Ska Brewing, I believe.
Ska Brewing.
They don't want to advertise it.
And there's something else underneath that says where in Colorado they're from, except my sad eyes can't see it under the flag of Ska Brewing.
Handcrafted.
Durango.
Durango. That's Durango. Up in the mountains up there in Colorado, which is where I got these while skiing.
Lip up, fatty.
That's what it says. India Pale Ale, dry hopped with Mandarina Bavaria hops, and brewed with, I'm not going to tell you.
Let's be surprised. It's a lot of head on that can.
Yeah, yeah.
It did travel in an airplane.
It's a nice, clean, amber color.
Compared to our last show with the New England ales, where everything was cloudy as all get out.
It's got a nice head with a mix of little and medium-sized bubbles.
That is clean, crisp,
super
tight
clean.
Bubbles.
Very deep orange.
Light, yeah, light amber.
I'm getting dish soap on the nose.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
It can be good. A little lemon pledge.
I got a subtle dank underneath.
I get lemon pledge.
Yeah, I'm getting the synthetic citrus.
Now, to be fair, it's kind of old.
A little dated beer.
Okay. It's from February.
Okay, it's not too bad. And it's in a can, so.
That's way more mellow than I remembered it.
So this is an India Pale Ale. I'm reminding myself of that.
No, you don't get the astringency there? It has
I don't
a bite at the
too
end.
Too much bitterness, but I get some of the mandarin. I get that. I get some little orange juice flavor.
I'm definitely this is a maltier.
Yes, it is.
So Colorado, but not a West Coast IPA.
Yeah.
A maltier. I akin the mouthfeel and body of this to a British IPA.
Mm. I'd get that like an English pale ale.
A little bit of biscuitiness to it.
The body of it, yeah. The hop profile is maybe a little bit American, but not West Coast.
And that would go with the color too. The more malty, mm-hmm. right? It's like caramel.
Yeah. I'm gonna say I get a little bit of the orange mandarin thing,
orange.
But it's a power of suggestion. I still feel like it's
I'm
a little bit.
Some.
It's a little synthetic citrus even on the flavor.
I'm not getting
and then finishes
anything.
Dank, just finishes a little dirty.
But I have to say, when I had it originally, which made me get more to bring it home, it was way more potent on the orange flavor.
Yeah.
Well, this seems very light. So this was kind of tight head, tight bubbles on the head, but seems lightly carbonated in terms of mouthfeel. And I wanted you to try this on tap. Did you?
Right. No, I did not.
You did not.
Okay. I got it in the can.
All right, so it was in can too. I was just wondering if that made it.
No, I think it might have been the freshness.
Okay.
Or the lack of going up to 35,000 feet and coming back down again. This was smuggled in my ski bag.
Was this after skiing drink?
Yes.
Because that has an impact too.
Sure.
When you drink a beer after skiing, that's awesome.
It's the best thing ever.
Speaking of, kind of related, somewhat related story. So I did this hiking trip in northern New Mexico.
Oh, let's hear
about
that.
At the Philmont Boy Scout Ranch. It was 12 days of backpacking through northeastern New Mexico, up and down mountains, shooting black powder rifles, rock climbing, all sorts of other different activities. But mostly lots of backpacking, hiking with 40 pounds on your back and camping and backpacking. We went, the adults, the advisors in the crew, after the event, we went to the little town of Cimarron, which is near the Boy Scout camp, and we went to a restaurant there, like one nice restaurant in Cimarron, and we sent the kids out to wherever they went, I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
To the shady knife dealer or whatever.
They were cooking meth.
Beer that I had It was, what was it called? It was from Santa Fe Brewing Company's, and it was a Happy Camper Pale Ale or something like that. That was the best beer I've ever had in my life. Yeah. after 12 days of not bathing, washing, and just hiking and tired all day, we drank a crap load of those beers and had a really good time. So yeah,
there was a time when I was a runner. You won't believe it, but yeah, training for a marathon, and literally I'd go out for a long run, 16 mile in the morning or something, and I'd come home, all I would have was a Miller Lite. That was the best damn beer at that point in time.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
My body wanted nothing more than that.
Right.
So, right. A little bit lower. All right, so on this beer, if I covered this up, if you didn't hear Mandarin, is there more? Can you take a sip? Like, do it like, you know, go back in time, close your eyes, and take a sip, and tell me what you're drinking.
I would say amber ale. Like generic brewery's amber ale.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So that's what I was
with
hoping.
With a little bit of pithiness. There's a little bit of pithiness.
I'd go like just a little heavier bit. I'd go just
bitter.
I'd go a little heavier bittering.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say pith. I'd go like, okay, I have an amber ale, a little bit bitter.
Yeah.
I
give you that.
So that's the, maybe it's age and it's lost its citrus, you know, emotion.
Right.
But amber ale, and that makes me sad. Yeah. Almost as sad as a brown ale.
A brown frown. Well, this is going to be even worse with the when we go to that brown one, because if it's not as good as I remember it.
Yeah.
Because I hate brown ale. And I actually was like, this is pretty good.
You know what's awesome? A nice British mild brown.
Yeah.
That's, but nothing else that's brown.
Right.
British mild, traditional British mild, amazing.
So these guys' website, they you know, ska brewing, all right, that's cool. But they kind of seem like a little bit of a marketing forward beer to me.
Yeah.
And it turns me off a little bit. I've had their beers before. I went out in Colorado, you know, partook of the ska beers. I don't know if they're in that category of just marketing forward beers or not, but they could be.
But just again, in their defense, this is 5 month old.
Oh,
and well, feel the can, a little bit of dents in it.
Yeah,
from
don't
hitting my skis.
I wouldn't say that marketing forward is an indictment against quality, because some marketing forward
can
beers
yeah,
can
exactly.
be perfectly good.
Yes.
But you know, I do wonder if marketing forward, you have to in the, you know, what's becoming in regional pockets just oversaturated craft beer
right.
Markets. But yeah, I'd look at this can, and you know, I'm sure you guys have posted up a picture of it. It is a little bit bright, catches the eye. You know, there's guys in suits. That's the kind of the ska Boston's type of look with Mandarin orange heads. And the big, like, lip up fatty, a little bit like non sequitur.
Right.
Can. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to grab your attention.
And we're in Colorado.
Yeah.
Which is,
so I see that.
Honestly, going to the local beer store out in the mountains saying, I want to get some local brews, and these are what the bearded dude recommended.
And so I'm going to want to hear the story, potentially, if there is one on this next beer. Are you ready to crack it?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
So this is a Bridal Veil Rye Pale Ale. And is that a veiled reference to veil? Bridal Veil? Is there something going on? We'll talk about it. But what's that?
All right. See,
Who's the brewery on this one?
This one is Telluride Brewing Company.
Telluride Brewing. Again, out there in Colorado. They're out in the mountains, Telluride, yeah?
So I am a skier. I've skied with my family for nearly 30 years. Cousins, uncles, siblings. And we've always done East Coast skiing. I've never been west of the Mississippi.
You'll have an excuse?
Well, this trip...
Even more of an excuse.
This winter, we finally broke our cherry and went out west. And it was absolutely... unquestionably phenomenal. And these beers were from that trip. And we went out and got a lot of good stuff. But I particularly like the ones that I selected here. Okay, there's absolutely no nose on this, man.
I'm getting actually a little, I would say, sour.
Well, that's not good.
Not sour beer.
Sour
but not good, like sour from a...
Do you get any? Because it's a rye pale ale.
Should
rye
be pepper.
Is sometimes peppery, right?
Yeah.
I'd say on the nose, I'm trying to overanalyze this. Sour melon.
Yeah. Damn it.
I get pepper on the flavor.
But it's almost like a yeast pepper, though. It's like, I think these are just too old.
Yeah. This is pretty mild.
I think milder beers that have aged, they're not going to keep it as long.
If they you don't got keep like
a
the
big,
profile.
If you kept a big fat IPA, it might hold it a little longer. But,
right.
But something that's a little more mild, it's probably not going to hold it as long.
Rye tugs at my brewer heartstrings when I was heavy into home brewing.
You made an awesome rye IPA.
Rye was my secret ingredient. I'm going to say before rye was cool and trendy, I picked it out and was putting in beers where maybe it didn't belong, but a couple places it did belong and it was really good. So if I see a rye anything, I want to try and see what it does. I'm tasting this and be like, I can't tell.
There's no rye. Here. No, yeah. this
you don't get any peppery flavor.
This is a pretty this
tastes like a saison. It's like this is a farm beer.
This is like a light, nondescript pale ale. I can't even like I said like I felt like a little sour on the nose, but like sour melon, if that made sense. But
we didn't really talk about the color. It's a light golden color, a little bit hazy. This.
It had good effervescence, tight bubbles.
Tiny bubbles out.
Well, gents,
yeah, and that's the other thing too. So rye imparts a more reddish hue to a beer. So I'd say in color alone, maybe that's just an indicator they just did really, really low rye malt bill.
Yeah, it's just rye in name only.
Maybe
there's something else there.
It is peppery.
I think it's the rye. I feel like there's some pepper in it. I feel like I'm getting the rye.
All right. Well, let's see what they say. So we got a little insight inside here. So we got brewed with a generous amount of German rye malt. Well, maybe it's because it's German. I don't know about that one. And an abundance of American hops. Our ale embodies an earthy flavor. I'll give it that. And finishes with a hint of spice. That should be where the rye is. And I don't get it. The powerhouse of an ale that excites even the most dormant of taste buds. Cheers.
5.5%. 60 hops in this one. 60 IBUs. Magnum, Cascade, Chinook, CDZ, and Citra. I like the food pairings whenever they show those. Turkey, Vietnamese, nachos, shrimp, pizza, peanut sauces, jambalaya, and enchiladas.
So with spices.
I can see some enchiladas. Kind of some spice, and a fresh one of these and some enchiladas, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Well,
that was one thing in Colorado, and I'm sure you already know this and will continue to know this, but the green chilies and the...
Some hatch green chilies.
Yeah, man. That was a good mix. And then with the IPAs, there was always a good combo.
Yes.
Because it also opens up those things because it fires them a little bit, and so you're more, like, tender, and then you get the beer, you get more of that flavor input in there.
Yeah. And the good thing about green chili is you get it multiple times. You get it when you eat it, and you get it later.
So there's nothing offensive about this beer.
No.
There's nothing, like, wrong with it. It like seems just like a pretty standard if you went into any brew pub, microbrewery, what have you, and they have a pale ale on tap, this is probably what you're getting.
Right.
This type of thing. Like, it's not going to offend anybody.
I don't know, but
it's not
like
really
the rye
it's not gonna pop
is kind of even knocking it out of that category even a little bit,
but I guess I'm not getting it though.
Interesting.
Again,
not a bad beer.
Now maybe the brown and the porter will have aged better.
Yeah,
this could be a victim of age, even though it's
IPA,
in a
pale ales and IPAs are generally worse with age.
You gotta drink them fresh. Yeah, that's it.
Stouts, porters, those age better generally.
And I did not drink these fresh.
But what can you say anything about Bridal Veil? Where are we going with this name?
No, I can't because this is where my
Bridal
brother
Falls
would be
or something.
Well, looks like a picture of a chalet and a footbridge and maybe a waterfall or snow melt.
Looks like they have a cool.
I'm trying to get on the. Is this some ridiculous marketing? They're taking some a leap here. A little veiled reference to something.
Veiled reference.
Well, I mean, there is Veil, which is one
of
the...
Spelled different, yeah.
All right, which one are we drinking next, guys?
All right.
But they're not giving me bridal veil, and they're trying to get me to the things that brides wear.
Are we doing the brown ale or the other one?
The brown
ale. Let's go with the brown.
So we got face down brown ale. We got a good picture of a skier face down in a mogul.
Brown ales. The
brown frown.
Also
bane of CNBC.
Yeah. Yes. Not one of my favorite beers.
Although this beer, 2012 gold, 2014 gold, 2016 bronze at the World Beer Cup Awards.
And I like this brown, which is why I brought it on an airplane back into the area, because when I had it, I was like, this is actually good. There's one other brown ale that we don't have tonight, but now that they are recently acquired by big marketing money, Cigar City... Their brown ale.
Who were they? You, were they bought by some?
They got bought by Dale's.
Oh, we talked about that.
Yeah.
You call Dale's like a conglomerate or something?
Well,
they're not.
They got money and they distribute, and they're distributing Cigar City up north.
Oh, one thing we didn't mention in beer news: Growlers in Gaithersburg.
It's close.
Previously called
Old Town Tavern.
Old Town Gaithersburg's Old Town Brew House. And I think there might have been one or two other names.
Yeah.
Close. I went there like 2 days after they're closed. I'm like, what's going on? They had these like kind of confusing signs on the doors about not going in it and other stuff like that.
Like, were they condemned? Did you get... Because like, I went and I looked on their Google, webpage. Nothing.
Nothing. I went,
it's like they're still open.
I went on their webpage and it's like 2 days ago they had bands playing and
yeah.
stuff. I'm like, what the hell happened?
Right. I don't know. I couldn't find anything out. I went to go there. That's how I ended up at the other place.
I found some like internet comments about like that were a little bit creepy about the manager or something. I don't know what happened with that place.
Do we have
place.
A comment ping pong problem?
Maybe I don't. I don't
that,
know.
That was trying
all
to.
Right,
get
oh,
it.
This is, all right, just forget it. No, all right.
I don't know. I don't know. But
that was
yeah.
A
if anybody
for
knows,
us.
If any of our listeners knows what happened with Growlers, let us know.
Surely, our friends in Australia. Yes. Probably
but I mean, Growlers
in Abu Dhabi
this area was. I mean, it opened up in like 90.
It was the first
96. It was. Early.
Very early, before we were at drinking age, legal drinking age had opened, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So definitely a mainstay.
It really was. That was like, you know, multi-generations ago.
All right.
All right.
Telluride, another sample beer here from Telluride Brewing Company.
So the nose maintains, I don't know about you guys, but I got big coffee.
I get chocolate or coffee.
I get coffee and a little chocolate, but this is a brown, not a porter. And you're still getting that hint.
Yeah,
I get
cocoa,
I feel.
Cocoa chocolate. Yeah.
Smells really good.
It makes me optimistic.
Right?
Really good. I love the smell.
Color was brown.
It's a deep...
reddish brown.
Right, but it's clear.
it is clear. You can see through it if you hold up the light.
Yeah, oh, it's got a nice bitter...
It's filtered looking. It's not hazy.
Yeah. See, this held up a little. This is good. This is a brown ale, remember. This is not a porter. This is not a stout.
Yeah.
This is a brown ale.
It's a little bit aqueous for me. Do you feel that? Like
well, I do because it's an ale, though.
It is.
It's supposed to be. So it's like, oh, I expect this to be a stout or a porter.
5.7% still.
I hate a little bit.
It smells really
good.
I love the smell of it.
The aroma is really nice. The mouthfeel is it's a little bit aqueous.
It's definitely aqueous,
but really good cocoa and coffee. So mocha.
Very little bitterness.
And finishes like what like maybe. Chocolate. Like cocoa. God,
like
I'm
the bite and baker's chocolate.
Nibs. Yeah. I'm trying to like what is that? Like
yeah. Like with a dark chocolate, when you get that bite.
Like a chocolate bitterness rather than a beer bitterness. Like
correct.
Rather than a
exactly.
hoppy bitterness. Yeah.
It's not like the IPA bitterness,
it's
more
nice.
The chocolate bitterness.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think this one improved with the age.
Yeah.
Note to self, only bring home Browns, Porter, Stouts. Don't bring home IPAs.
Unless we're going to drink them right away.
Like,
all right, so here's what they say about this beer on the side of the can. Government warning. No.
Don't drink if pregnant.
Yeah, no, we don't have really a statement on this. Oh, no, we do. A beautiful hybrid of an English and American brown ale that explodes with aromas of toffee, didn't get that, chocolate, and nut balanced hop forward with German noble and big American aroma hops. Don't be afraid to get down with the best brown around.
I mean, this thing is taking home those medals. It's hitting the style.
Yeah.
And it's popping in those style notes. Yep. So,
and I did get a little toffee, a little bit of that you know, that salty buttery in the aroma with the chocolate. Give it another smell. See if you get that.
Yeah, I mean, a 3-time Great American Beer Festival winner and a World Beer Cup winner. Yeah,
there's some toffee in there.
That's good.
That's a good beer.
Do you smell toffee in this? That was not a committed yes on that one.
37 hops in this one. 37 IBUs. That was stepped up, though. Magnum, Tettnanger, CTZ.
Tettnanger, that's out the German noble. Yeah.
And Cascade.
Cascade?
That's an interesting mix.
That's what gives it the bitter?
That's like the American hop.
Right. The you know, when you get the West Coast. Yeah. Yeah, that might be the bitter that we're getting.
You guys want to hear about the food pairings?
Sure.
What would you pick as a food pairing for a brown, typically?
Meatloaf.
No, for a brown. Well, I mean, for a normal brown.
For this beer.
Like, or for this one. For this one, this would be more dessert-y stuff that I'd want. I can't.
What about a meal? What about an entree?
Like pot roast.
Coq au vin.
Okay. Like something rich.
Yeah, some with a brown, red winey sauce.
Bison. Venison.
Yeah.
Beef. Venison.
Yeah. All that. Yeah,
beans, burgers, and almonds.
Yep, there you go. Anything that's kind of on that side.
Yeah, a little gamier, a little meatier.
Put that on a plate, every bit of those things.
Actually, can we get that? Is that a takeout order you just called in?
It's like, beans, I'm ready, bison, elk, venison.
I mean, with all this beer.
Man, I can go for some elk backstrap right now.
Well, come out to Colorado and I'm sure we have some.
All right, Mo.
Let's hook that up.
So, for those of you who don't know, the C in CMBC, the first C, is leaving. We got another can too if you want more. Is leaving the Mid-Atlantic.
That's right.
He's heading out westward ways. He's going west.
Moving west, young man.
And so, although at the time I thought these beers would be special because, you know, when's the next time we're going to be in Colorado? Part of this is a swan song for the Maryland thing. We'll try to get as many as we can before he moves, but coming up here in the next month or so, Chris will be heading west.
And I'm sure I will be back east, and I'm sure you guys will visit out west.
I guarantee you that's happening.
We will continue to pop out some CNBCs.
Just think in your head when you buy your new house that I will be staying there for extended periods of time.
We'll have an extra bedroom.
Right. I'm pretty sure that this just ends the friendship and that I'll never see you again. You jerk.
And we're gonna see what we can do as far as a we may have CNBC Reborn in the form of a Skype type thing,
right? And if we, you know, the Chinese just get that photon transference, instantaneous communication, quantum computing.
We're gonna Ready Player One this thing.
We might be able to do some of that.
Get that reference.
I think CNBC is moving into the cloud.
Yeah, the smoke
That's
cloud
what the
in
C
Colorado.
Stands for.
Yeah,
Chris. And Mike, Silent
Beer Clouds.
Yeah. Beer Cloud.
CMBJBC Cloud.
All right. Well, you know, keep following us on those media things.
There'll definitely be lots of photos of great food and beer, I'm sure. And maybe we'll get to wear DACA.
This beer is really good.
Isn't it? For a brown? Like, it's tasty as a Mo.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Speaking of Mo...
We've got one more, yeah.
Hey! That's a hell of a segue, Jeff. So, speaking of Mo, Little Mo.
You called it out.
Well, fine. Yeah, well, you know, that's the difference. This is from Elevation Beer Company, another Colorado brewing company. Little Mo Porter.
Okay, now I'm having a flashback. We've had something from Elevation.
Yeah, we have.
We've had something from Elevation.
Yes.
I'm certain of it.
Should I stop opening or keep going
with
the
other one? No, go.
What was it called again? I'm sorry.
Little Mo Porter. from Elevation Brewing.
A porter.
A porter. Because I told you I was on a big porter kick for a while. If we're going to continue drinking tonight... Oh, I did you the nasty head. Sorry. There's a Devil's Backbone porter for us. There is an Ohio porter for us.
I have an Imperial Stout that might go to a video episode, too.
There's an Imperial Stout, and I have a West Virginia porter, so we can go porter crazy if we want to follow up with a porter episode.
I'm almost thinking that the Elevation beer that we had was one of those, like, oh my god!
Delicious ones?
Yeah.
Well, are you looking through their
beers? And I go to their site, and they're like, our beers, the green series, the blue series. Jesus.
They're we're on the series, this is their blue series.
Yeah, because they're like the ski markers. Green is the easy slash.
Oh, so this is an intermediate.
I want the double.
We want their double diamonds then. By the way, I did ski a diamond or two. And
I can't do it anymore. I'm like, just give me the blues. It's fine.
Well, in Colorado. What does Black Diamond mean there? Is that moguls or steep? Or?
It's moguls and steep.
And long.
And long. Oh, okay. Long. All of them
the
are long.
The biggest thing on West Coast skiing or Western skiing is length.
Length, yeah.
You get tired. Yes. Like, on the East Coast, you never get tired.
Like, give an example. Like, you're skiing, you're going downhill.
No, you have to sit down and take a break.
Yeah.
That's like, what I mean.
It's long skiing.
Because I grew up skiing in New England where, like, runs are like... Yeah, if you're on a double black diamond, you might be down in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. No. These are good 20 minute runs.
You go down and you're like, fine. No, you have to take breaks. You have to sit down.
Yep.
Catch your breath. Then get back up.
it's a lot of work to get down the mountains, but Breckenridge was the third slope we went to. But Arapaho, which you have to try, Chris. There's not a lot of blue and green on Arapaho though, but Arapaho was insane bowls and
they've got a lot of bowls in Colorado too.
I never skied a bowl like it's all snow. It's
a lot different kind of bowl.
It's just what the. But we apparently went, and there had been more snow there than there ever had been before, so...
So, tell brewery, what were they called again?
Elevation Brewing.
Very ski-themed brewing. In fact, this beer, we talked about the ratings, but also this beer, named after one of our favorite ski runs at Monarch Mountain.
Called
Mo. Oh, we haven't talked about this beer yet at all. What does it smell like?
We got the color. It's a clear brown, dark brown. Has a nice
smell?
Tan head. Nothing.
I smell something.
I smell a little bit of...
Subtle chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate.
Throw up.
A little vomit?
Yeah, a little
bile.
Little bile.
Did it go off? It is in a bottle.
I can get a little bile. Yeah.
It is in a bottle. It may not have traveled well. No.
That's not off.
No, that's good.
Still a little bit aqueous.
Yeah.
But this one, do you guys get that smoke flavor, though?
I caught a little bit when you said it. I don't know if it was influencing me.
Very mild. Yeah, very
really?
Mild smoke. Mild smoke. Yeah, so I'd say not... I'll mix that. So char, not smoke. Does that resonate?
Char, yeah. It's more... It's, yeah, salty char. But I like it. It's... but... To the face brand, yeah.
What is the is this? This seems really light.
6%.
Okay,
it should be.
They call
thicker.
It a robust porter style. There are a number of different porter styles. They call this one a robust, which was robust is more coffee, right?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Software is always referred to as robust, and I'm like, what the hell does that?
It's also
mean?
Scalable.
Yeah, it's scalable.
And it's enterprise ready.
Right. Feature rich.
Ooh, loosely coupled.
services.
Ephemeral.
It supports big data. Open standards.
Little Mo oozes aroma of chocolate, coffee, and light floral hops. The palate hits with chocolate and coffee notes.
Does anybody wait, can I pause you there? Any floral hops? Anybody?
No.
Let me take
a I didn't get step. Floral hops.
I'm gonna go for the power of suggestion and nope, still not there.
I get chocolate more than coffee.
No coffee. But I get the char. Maybe that's...
I get a little char at the end. It's like campfire almost.
Yeah, yeah.
If I get coffee, it's like burnt coffee bean.
Yeah. The palate hits... balanced with a subtle bitterness with a medium mouthfeel. We talked about the mouthfeel. You know, yeah. The lingering sweetness from this malt-forward beer will have you asking for just a...
Little Mo.
Oh. Give me a little Mo. 37 you know, hops.
Now I feel like IBUs. I tried to take a big sip and like let that settle and go, yeah, and I'm getting the coffee. Yeah, like the lingering flavor is coffee.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Little mocha, a little coffee. It's good. It's good, but yeah. I don't know. That face down brown ale was really good.
Well, was it really good or it just exceeded expectation? You're like such low expectations.
Oh, I'm going to pour you more of this one. All right.
So here's the...
We're not at the closeout.
I'm having a mental problem with Little Mo because one of my favorite breweries, Maine Bear Company, has Little Peeper and they have Mo. Yeah. So I'm having a little I'm having a brain block on Little Mo.
It's combining two of my favorite things. But no,
so I think this is it's not bad.
It's pretty good.
I see Porter and I expect a little bit more density of flavor. And then right up against a brown ale, when I had such lower expectations, that was a lot more body.
Right. I would call the face down robust.
Yeah, yeah.
The complex. The hops on here, Northern Brewer and Chinook hops.
Those are like pretty generic.
Let's talk about the malt profile because it's a porter. Two-row, Munich, Crystal 77, and 120. You talked about those as the darker ones. Yeah. Chocolate and flaked barley.
Yeah.
Oh, here's some... food pairings. Oso Buco.
Yeah.
Oso Buco.
What is that?
That's like the oxtail.
Oh. Mole. Vanilla ice cream.
All I can say is not fancy enough to drink this beer because I don't understand the food pairings.
Oh, what are those things?
It's like, Vale, what? I can't
vanilla ice cream. I got that one.
Yeah, Briars.
Now you could. I could see pouring this over a little French vanilla ice cream. That'd be good.
The KBS? Yeah, that? No.
All right, my bad. They say Osobuco is veal shanks, but that's what
I was you gonna got. Say Osobuco is Italian.
No, but you got the bone. Hey. And it's like you know, yeah. the marrow, and you got a hunk of like.
Oh, it's like a lamb. It. It's like the same thing they do with the lamb, like the cup.
You know, this.
Yes.
This.
Oh, I couldn't eat that.
Yeah, but that is a very like dense, very robust. So put this with something robust.
So, like the elk and the deer and all the other stuff we talked about with the other one.
Yeah. Not bad. We bumped this up against something that, you know, exceeded expectations.
Yes, fair enough. But I appreciate it. And again, I brought the beers back that I thought were worth bringing back. They made an impression on me when I had them fresh in Colorado. As a matter of fact, I believe there's a six-pack that I actually used. Was their six-pack cast.
So I'm checking out their website, and this sounds friggin' awesome to me. Welcome to Elevation Beer Company. We brew in the rural mountain town of Poncha Springs, Colorado. We have food trucks on the property 7 days a week and are pet-friendly on our patio. Our tasting room features up to 17 beers on tap and beer to go.
Guess happy where hour Chris
Monday
is going.
Through Thursday. You caught what I'm about to say. I'm heading up this place.
I'm moving.
Yeah, I don't know where they are, but I'm going there. As soon as I get there, I'm heading up to Poncha Springs, wherever the hell that is.
Where's Poncha Springs from Denver? Uber me there, baby.
I'm going there.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Find that place.
Sounds good. I mean, I'm going to have to look through your episodes. But
are you sure it's not Elevation Burger you're thinking of?
No. I feel like we had one of these religious experience stouts. But I just
really? I looked through their beers.
But I just looked through and I'm not seeing what I think it was. So I could be off. But yeah.
Southwest of Denver. Not too far. Maybe an hour and a half away. 2 hours.
Southwest of Denver? That's not even in the mountains.
Yeah, it is.
What do you say they're mountains?
Pike and San...
I guess the Rockies go that way.
All the west is the Rockies.
Yeah.
All through Colorado. And down into New Mexico.
Were you in the Rockies?
Yeah, the Southern Rockies in New Mexico.
Yeah. That must have been a hell of a hike.
It was awesome. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. Right. How did Ian do?
He did awesome.
Yeah.
All the boys did awesome.
Right on.
There was a little bit of altitude sickness and dehydration. Not drinking enough. I mean, Albuquerque is like Denver. You start at 5,000-6,000 feet, and I think We climbed Mount Baldy. That was 12,000 feet.
Jesus.
It wasn't a 14er, but it's, you know, you're getting
up there.
That's
pretty high.
Yeah. And if you're not drinking water...
That was the thing. Like, when I went skiing, like, all, every hour
water.
I had
That's
to have
all
water.
You have to do, and you're good.
12 ounces of water every hour, and I didn't
but,
get
But, you know, we're in the backcountry there, and we're drinking kind of salt-free water.
Yeah.
You know, and the some of the boys
Did you do iodine?
We had tablets.
They bring the lemon powder.
We had Gatorade and stuff to offset.
Yeah, yeah, you cover the taste when you had the cow shit water that you put the iodine in.
We had some of the cow shit water.
Yeah, that's never fun. But, you know, if you put the lemonade, it's all right.
Yeah, but I think that's, you know, a couple of the boys got sick.
Like dysentery sick?
They got sick. They got dehydrated.
Oh, the headache.
Or headaches, throwing up, shivering, a little bit of maybe almost... you know, what do you call it when you're cold and wet?
Hangover?
No. Wait, in a ditch or not?
Right, right. Like, am I in my own bed when this is happening?
I wouldn't know. I'm just asking.
Was it cold?
It was cold.
Really?
It was cold at night, yeah.
Yeah? Oh, that's awesome, because I cannot sleep in the heat.
Sounds like amazing country.
Right? I loved it. I freaking...
And it seems like they got good beer there, so...
Yeah.
Now, was the beer actually good at Santa Fe?
I have no freaking idea. It was, you know, we'd just been out in the bush for 12 days and eating beef jerky, rehydrated meals because the kids were cooking everything, so the quality of the hydration was not up to standard. I'm not sure how much Purell they used when, you know, going to the bathroom before.
Right. So you got a little bit of the fecal matter going in there, keeping it all real.
You never know how much you eat of that every day.
You know, it was good that we toughened our stomachs by, you know, with the green chilies on the way up.
Damn.
That sounds amazing.
But I loved it. I loved it, you know. I would, you know, it's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
All right. No, hopefully not.
No, there you go. You guys are going to come out to Colorado. We're going to do some backpacking trips, and it's going to be awesome.
I'll come out and do it.
Perfect.
Let us know when you're settled, man.
And we'll find some beers, too.
I think it's really easy in Colorado. You just throw a stone, you're going to get good beer.
So what
you know what else you have in Colorado? Mountains.
Yes.
But they do have a water issue, so I hope you have guns.
I'm bringing guns.
And, okay, here's an ironic last tidbit before we sign off. Some of the best sushi that I ever had was in Denver.
Stop.
In the no bullshit.
Stop.
In the middle of the goddamn country. I was like, how the hell is this place good sushi? Because I went out on a business trip. It was this decade ago, so maybe it's not still there, but this place is like, no way. And like, no, trust me, this is really good sushi. I was like, really? I was like, oh yeah, it's really good sushi. So we go there. They got their shit flown in from Hawaii
every day.
And
there are places that do that.
It was in this little, I guess, I don't know Denver very well, but you might figure this out. It's like the neighborhood area of Denver, which is still looks like houses, like two-story houses or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's this really great sushi joint. It was phenomenal, man. Every dish we had, the presentation was great, the flavor was great, the combination was great. It was like, I'm in Colorado. There is no sea anywhere near us. The closest thing are the Great Lakes. Like, no. But the sushi, exactly. But it was...
That's brain breaking. Right.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was amazing. So if this place still exists...
So the best place I've ever had sushi was in Seattle, but you expect.
Yes. Right. That's supposed to be good, though.
Jesus.
Best place prior to that. All right,
guys.
Uraku.
Let's cover the beers. We've got to take one of these home with us. Which is it going to be?
Me? Oh, face down around now. Like, the worst beer type that this podcast appreciates is my favorite
one. It's not a style that we love on, generally, but...
Yeah. And you know, maybe the age made it even better in comparison.
And for that reason, because we don't generally like it. So when we have one that has brown on the label and we like it, we're like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
It definitely, it overachieved for sure. So that's definitely influencing me.
Yeah, I gotta agree with the selection. Even if the Bridal Veil Rye Pale Ale and the Modus Mandarina suffered from age. Still, because the brown ale was a standout, and it's an award winner. Like, apparently,
is it an award winner?
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, that's a stellar beer.
Little Mo is good, but yeah, I'm with the same face down brown ale. Very good brown ale. Really enjoyed it.
It worthy of the award.
Has that ever happened on the CNBC? A brown ale is the winner?
Never. No, that's never.
Even on
happened.
The brown ale episode, there was no brown.
There was no winner. Like all of us, I believe we had the title Brown Frown because we couldn't find one we liked.
Well, that's funny.
All right, let's close this episode out. Number 85.
That means this, but we might have to edit on the floor because I think I used this quote before, but if I didn't, it definitely.
All right, do the outro first.
Okay. Thanks for listening to CNBC episode 84. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or anywhere else that you get your Podomatic or get it directly from us at cnbcpodcast.com.
Jeff's going to tell you about our social media outlets.
This is a Facebooker, the Twitterer,
yep.
And the other thinger, the YouTuber.
Yep. Oh, and we got some video coming up, so don't miss that. Some Grail beers there. All right, so here's a quote which I think is new, but I'm not quite sure. Friends bring happiness into your life. Best friends bring beer.
Cheers. Oh,
cheers.
Cheers.
Drink good beer. I want to get mile high, touch the sky, get lost in mountain time.
But I do want to do a retro on the century when we get to it. It's like, here's a quick 50-second recap of 100 episodes of CNBC. Yeah. And just like, maybe.
Record before your voice cracked.
Exactly. Changed.